spending time, but today is a heart of gratitude. Again, a heart of gratitude, and we're going to be coming out of the book of Colossians. We're going to stay in Colossians for a few minutes. Chapter 2, King James Version, I'll be reading from this morning. But how many know that thankfulness is a little different than having a heart of gratitude? A heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratitude. How many realize they line up together, but they're not in the same definitions? One is different than the other. And you're saying, well, how's that happening? Because the Word of God says it. How many believe that John 3:16, that God so loved the world? That what? What did he do? Because he has a love for us. What did he do? He gave us his only, say only, begotten Son. Right? And he gave it for a reason. How many believe that writing? Well, I need you to believe that he's the same writer of this that we're going to read in the book of Colossians. I need you to believe that everything that we are reading today, not only in Colossians, but will be in Psalms and maybe closing out with Jeremiah. I don't know yet as the Spirit of the Lord leads us. He's the same writer. And in what he's writing that, you believe that he gave his Son. You believe that, you know, he's the only begotten. You believe that the reasoning is for salvation. We got to believe this too, that because he's the same writer, because he's the same God. And this morning, the same God wants us to transition in this year of 2025, that our, say our, 2026 coming, which has already began in our lunar calendar with our Jewish brethren. My new year already started, and it's been a doozy. I mean, we're fighting battles. I said, okay, the church is being challenged. Say challenge. I mean, you know you're going to be challenged. You're always going to be challenged. Challenges is not a bad thing. Only if you don't know that those challenges are already defeated. Say defeated. Because our God has defeated all things. How many agree? Sometimes you got to understand that it's all been defeated. So as we're in a month of transitioning, as a month of a heart that God has been describing to us needs change. Say needs change. You know, we're good at changing our appearances. Come on. We're good at making our appearances by the changes and the things we change. And that, look, CNR closure used to say, the suit makes the man. I say, no, the man makes the suit. Okay. I've been wearing suits for ages of time now. Come on. But I know that we can clean somebody up and they look good. But it's only going to look as good as the person really is. No, you didn't hear that. But anyways, we're in this month and we're going to read into the book of Colossians and what he spoke to us in the last couple of weeks here and to Anna being with us. Come on. Amen. Anna, you know, our missionary and to, you know, what we're celebrating. What are we celebrating? Why is December such a celebrated month? In the United States, not around the world everywhere, but in the United States. It's a birth of who? We celebrate something that really didn't exist in that month, but we celebrate because we're just thankful that we still have that. Listen, thankful, I said, that we still have the name of Jesus, the birth of Christ, still existing. But the way religion is moving, the way religion is walking toward, if those religions have a full say, they will take our Christ out and we're going to have to celebrate Muhammad. The way it's going. But, you know, we don't care. We don't, you know, we put our guards down. You know, we don't realize that what's happening around our world. We don't care what's happening in our own state. You know, that they just signing bills that you're not going to have no say over your own children. What is that? Well, it's because we put our guards down. We don't understand, but. You know, what is, why is this existing? It's because the writer tells us, the writer of the book of life. How many know this is the book of life? Your Bible, say my Bible, and it's been written so that you could understand it today. Because of the these and the thous and the behooves and all this that, you know, the King James Version has enlightened us, most of, a lot of us with, is now easy English versions. the Passion Version, International Version, the Amplified Version, the Jewish versions. I mean, and it goes on and on and on. So without reasoning, we're going to be able to go before God and say, well, I didn't understand. Because it's been made available that even the farmer understands it. Especially when it comes to sowing and harvest. In our transitions this morning, I know we're thankful. I know we are. You're here. You're here. But being here actually shows a gratitude. And you know, the worship team doesn't know my messages, so they sang the song Gratitude. And my wife made statements about gratitude. I said, oh God, we're in the right road. Coming to know sometimes God will bring it where, confirm that this is what I want. And you know, he does it by two or three. And I heard thankfulness. I hear thankfulness continuously. I thank God for the coffee this morning, right? How many are thankful for that cup of coffee? That is free. Come on. It's free. But better yet, how many are grateful for the sweets that come with the coffee? You see, we're all thankful, right? But did you know that thankfulness is actually it is the outcome of a gratitude heart. A gratitude heart. What are you talking about? I said, well, we're going to read something here in Colossians chapter 2, the King James Version, but I'm going to let you understand something. Gratitude is associated with the character of God. Aren't you glad that we're not God? I'm glad you're not God, because most of you would have hung me by now. And I'm thankful that I have a board that governs, but they don't have the authority to drive me out. Come on. Because in the bylaws, thankful for bylaws, how many of the laws are good? How many of the laws are here to protect us? Come on. Every law that God has put out is to protect us. But I'm thankful, but my gratitude will express, because it is a part of the character of God. And where is God in our lives? Where is he? He's in our hearts. Come on, somebody. That was your turn. See what I'm thankful for? That I haven't got religious. That I haven't told you can't say amen. I haven't told you, lock that door, since he won. Don't let that person come back in, because it's going to cause a distraction. You know, there's churches like that, right? Hello, somebody. People don't realize that we have certain needs sometimes. And I've been to services where the man of God, and he was a great man of God, used greatly, was yelling at the lady for walking out and moving her, and it was a big auditorium, and she's walking out, and we don't know why the reason, but he stopped everything he was doing and started yelling at the lady. I said, wow, God, that's powerful. But is it godly? Because oftentimes we think it's about us, but it's never about us. It's always going to be about the one that's in us, the one that saves us, the one that delivers us, the one that's always going to be there. When everybody else is gone, he will be right there for us, because it's his word. See, that's the same writer that I just spoke to you about. He's always going to be there. He's the one that God so loved the world. And so with that being said, verse number 6, Colossians chapter 2, King James Version. As you have, and I'm going to change it here. I'm not changing the word of God. I'm just saying, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk us in him. How many have received the Lord this morning? You know, every church that's in the Christian Version church and religious churches, I'll always say, I received Christ, okay? And that's a wonderful place to be. But that's only the beginning. We are on a journey this morning. None of us has made heaven our home yet, because we're still on this earth. You hear my wife? Some didn't wake up this morning. That is a truth. Come on. That is the truth. That continues. And I can guarantee you that when our sister called my wife this morning, she would rather be right here than getting in an ambulance this morning. Come on, listen to what I'm telling you. See, her heart is thankful, but she showed an act of gratitude. And you won't realize, what do you mean gratitude? What is she so grateful for? Well, sometimes you have to see the truth. If we have received Christ in our lives, like you and I have, because in the Christian world, some of us don't realize who our God is. We don't know because we don't study. We don't read. We don't talk and spend time with Him that you'll know who He really is. Oh, help me here, Jesus. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you what. The only one that's not thankful this coming week are turkeys. Don't you agree? And I'm talking about human beings. There's not a lot of people that are going to be thankful that day. Hello. Especially those that have to work. Because their retail out jobs are calling it. They're starting Black Friday, Black Thursdays. Man, they got us all psyched up. How many know that I serve a God that says if I want it, I can pay for it because He'll provide the need for me. You're always looking for the sale. I ask God, give me the money or I can buy it. Just give me the money if I can buy it. Even though it's not on sale. Thank God it's on sale, but I don't know why I'm going there. But anyway. Anyway, verse number 7. Now, this is the verse right here. Rooted. Going back to 6, though. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in Him. Come on. Walk in Him. Rooted. How many know, understand what rooted means here? How many know that we have a position that we have to become strengthened? Our foundation needs to become strong. But to have a strong foundation, you must have a foundation. And that foundation must be aligned to what you're building up. Hello, somebody. And if you don't understand that what you're to build up, especially in this season, how many are really thankful where they're at in Christ today? I got news for you. If you go to the cemeteries, there are hundreds of people wish they could be thankful for one more time to be with God because they died without Him because their heart was not in the heart of thanksgiving, which is leading to the heart of having a heart of gratitude. And you've heard this. How about an attitude of gratitude? You've heard that? Yeah. Attitude of gratitude. All right. I'm a poet and I know it. Come on, I only know it because they say it, and I'm just repeating what somebody else said. But why repeat it if I don't know what it means? Why say it if I don't know what it represents? You know, having an attitude, what's an attitude to become that gratitude person? Colossians is telling us right now, we need to have a firm, fixed position of in my salvation with God. Say mine. Because each and every one of us must work out our own salvation. We're good at fixing and trying to fix everybody else and direct somebody else's salvation, but we have to fix our salvation. We have to work on our salvation. And even though husbands and wives, you great job, you become one, but one's not going to take the other. Sorry, not my word, it's the book. Come on. Rooted and built up. No, what? Built up. God is so good that in our salvation, that He so loved me with, back in John, the Gospel of John on 3:16, has called me to become rooted and to build me up. How many understand that He wants you to be built up? Yes. He doesn't call you from the miry clay like we know and leave you there. He calls you out to rise up in us. And most of us don't understand that yet in this Christian journey of ours. You know, we think we're supposed to accept these religious ways out there when we're not supposed to accept these religious ways. Jesus confronted the religious ones, said, "You're a bunch of snakes." But not us. Oh, we're taught, oh, we got to accept everything. No, we don't. You don't know the word. You don't know the book. If you knew the book, especially Revelation, God really loves us. Come on, and we're not going to cover that today, but God loves us. He loves us so much that He's sending a punishment down.
But before he does that, his love tells us he's coming to take us up.
How many believe in the rapture? How many believe that we're going to be taken away? That's a love. And why is he going to take us up?
Because that's his gratitude. That's why it's a character of his. And that character should be of yours, as it is in mine, of me. It should be all of us. Come on, somebody.
Built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Where? With thanksgiving. Where?
Therein. With what? Thanksgiving.
Because thankfulness is going to lead us to the heart of a gratitude person. I don't know if you get that. But the problem we have is, I don't know, but your works let me know where your faith is.
Come on.
Because faith without works is dead. Am I? Jesus says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And we all have work ethics established in us as we're birthed out in this world. Unfortunately, we make and we are the cause of much laziness in this world, especially in today's Gen Z, they call it. That's because it's our fault because we pampered it too much. Hello, somebody. We gave rewards when rewards shouldn't have been issued. Everybody loves free stuff, right? I don't like free stuff, especially, you know, everything shouldn't be free to me. Hello? Because that's going to make me unthankful. That puts me in an unthankful position. Come on. But understand that my faith needs to be established, needs to have a root. And then I have to be built up in that faith. But that can't happen because you need to be taught. And today, that's a problem. The problem is we're all over the place in our teachings of our that we're receiving. We got books over books. We have the YouTube channel. You have the Facebook channels now. You have the TV channels, the radio station channels, and most of us can't even agree to what everybody's saying. I don't know about you, but if you ever go to the third world countries, you're going to see the difference of faith compared to what we don't have faith like they have faith. We think we have faith, but we don't. They have faith because they don't have what we have. They don't have the establishment that we're raised under. And thank God Almighty for the United States of America. Thank God for that. I'm going to tell you right now, but I was never a thankful person until God took me to these places that I couldn't wait to get back where I was birthed at. Come on. Oh, you're not hearing me. And so understanding that because we're not taught, we're not established, the faith is not where it should be, and my foundation, and how many know if you're rooted in Jesus, you're going to be the strongest person on this earth without going to the gym. Well, you didn't like that, did you? And it's free. No membership. Come on. Except becoming who we are to be. Hello? Let me read something to you. I had to write it down. I said, no, God, I'm just going to write it down for them. Thankfulness, that you'll understand it, acknowledge the efforts of others. How many are thankful that the church can open its doors this morning all over? How many of you are thankful that these doors weren't locked? What do you mean, Pastor? It's like this. There's a restaurant here in Yucaipa Boulevard called America Roadhouse. Steakhouse, apparently, right? Of the two owners, one passed away. So the next day, those that loved to go to that restaurant went there and it's closed. Because the other part owner had made a decision that this owner died, so I'm closing the restaurant down. And so all those that went there to go have their lunch or their dinner walked into a place that is closed. I'm thankful we can open these doors every time we open these doors. Come on, say amen, somebody. How many of you are thankful
that you have a key to your house. And it opens the door into your home that keeps you warm at night when it's cold. Come on. That gives you the ability to cook, to eat, to bathe, and to relax, and then to sleep. Come on. We can go deep in there, but I'm not here to go deep on anything. I just understand how many of you are thankful that the doors are open, but even more so that you're not walking into a filthy establishment. You go where our missionary takes us. She's come a long way. She's got a nice place now. You didn't see the beginning stage. You haven't been with us in the beginning. My church started in a park without nothing, no overhead. Free, everything was free to us because we're out in the open, cold, rain, shine, no matter what. But today, we're in a nice building. The establishment, right, has been proven. The faithfulness of God has been proven. And we've seen the miracles of God. We've seen the deliverances of God. We've seen everything. And my thankfulness has caused me to have a gratitude. Because thankfulness acknowledges the efforts of others. I'm thankful for those that clean the church. How many are thankful for those that come in? They're not coming up here to tell you, I'm thankful I get to clean the church. You hear them? You hear that kind of testimony? You don't hear that, do you? I'm thankful I get to clean the restroom, the restrooms that you can come and sit in a nice or use a nice facility, cleaned, come on, smells great. You don't hear nobody coming up here to be thankful for that, do you? I'm thankful for those that show their gratitude. So I'm thankful for others. But the difference of gratitude is the approach to doing something, substance that strengthens us, and the intentions behind my actions. A thankfulness will turn into a gratitude because the gratitude is going to reveal an action behind it, and that action is going to show us, say us, how many know who really cleans this church up? How many know? I should know, right? Come on. How many are thankful because we have coffee for free? For free. How many are thankful? Amen. You ain't thankful if you don't enjoy a cup with us. If you don't drink coffee, that's okay. That's all right. No big deal. But there's tea. Donuts. Come on. See, I'm stuck on one verse and I need to get out of here. But see, understanding the difference between thankfulness, because we have a thankful heart, yes, but we need a heart to be a heart of gratitude. And that gratitude will show in your attitude. Oh, no, they're asking again. Here comes the church. Oh, no. How many are thankful we're doing all that we're doing for the church this December and this Thanksgiving week? We already have a family chosen. We're looking. We look for family. We already have them chosen. We're just not making you a big deal by putting a box out here and let's fill it up with food that we can pick someone out. No, we're doing it a different way. We get money, and we're going to go buy a gift card, and we're going to let that family that's in need go buy the groceries. Because I don't know if you all like turkey. Come on. And I don't know the family we have chosen. You know, they might be a family who just wants rice and beans. I don't know. But, you know, or just mashed potatoes. I don't know. But we're going to let them choose. Come on. We're going to let them know we have a thankful heart, and we're showing our gratitude for what God has done for us. And you are the chosen one. Come on, somebody. Help me here. Now I'm going to say the road of Colossians. Go to chapter 3 with me real quick. Like chapter 3, Colossians. And I know it's not easy. Hello, somebody. Chapter 3, verse number 15. And let the peace of God. Watch this. The peace of God rule in your hearts. Hello, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. The difference, again, I can't be thankful that my heart of gratitude will be shown because there's no peace in my life. And how many know you're all called to be in peace? No. We're all called to be in peace. No, you say, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I said, you're right. I don't understand everything, but what I do understand, that we have a God and we serve a God that is never going to be absent from us. ever. Say ever. And I want you to understand that as this writer in the book of Colossians, this is the Apostle Paul in prison telling us how we ought to be. Well, he's in prison, locked up, in dungeons, not like our prison system today. No 3 meals a day, no going out time, no, none of this. Hello? Free internet now. Jesus. Free phone calls. What? Who's paying for that free phone call? It used to be accept charges call. Come on, now it's free. Who's paying for that in the state of California? Who's paying for that? Why do I know? Because I get calls from the prison system. Hello? Who's paying for that, Lord? Well, taxpayers are. Are you a taxpayer? Always. If you go to the store, you got to pay taxes. If you go to the gas station, you got to pay taxes. You go out to eat because they're cooking it warm for you. Unless you buy a package already ready to eat, that's not taxable. Oh, come on. And of course, we pay taxes for a lot of other things. Hello, somebody. It's those taxes that are paying for that free. Why we allow that? Because, you know, we're good people. And the state is trying to say, we're good people. I'm sorry how I'm going to say this, but we didn't put them in there. Hello, somebody. Our California deficit is so bad right now that you don't understand what's going to happen to our state if we're not careful. It's already in a worse position ever. They're taking your rights as a parent away, and they can give it to anyone else they desire. Somebody come and say, I want this child. And that new law that has been signed by your governor, my governor, I didn't vote for him, though. Come on, you better follow what you've been called to follow, because we're not just to be walking through the tulips here. Oh, everything's peachy king. I'm serving the Lord. No, it's not fine. We are called to be rooted. We're called to stand up. We're called to say so. Come on. And what love really is. It's not Tina Turner, by the way. It's Jesus Christ. Come on, if he overturned the tables of the money changers, we are not to accept everything because they say it in the name of God. We sell it to you. Oh, Jesus, help me here. It's cute, but it's not of God. You better know what's of God and what's not of God. Come on, somebody. And the peace of God rule in your hearts to that which also you are called in. Again, one body. And that you be grateful. And what this means is no matter what we're going through. Oh, man. There's always going to be something to be grateful for. And when you get that gratefulness in your heart. And I know it's not always right. It's not always good. It's not always everything going fine. God knows that. He was there before us in this New Testament. But he dealt with it in the prior Testament. And he says, enough is enough. I've seen so many unthankful Christians. So many. Been around in the business world. I said, man, if you're not careful, the old saying, somebody's going to change someone. Either you're going to be like them or they're going to be like you. And if I don't like it, get away from me. I love you doesn't mean I hang out with you. Oh, you didn't hear that. You didn't catch that. And I know that it's not easy to be grateful. But if you learn this in all things, then the peace of God comes. That brings understanding to everything, even to the worst situations that we face in life, even to the challenges that we're going to face, because we're going to face it. We're in this world. And because we're in this world, we are going to have tribulation. The Gospel of John tells you that Jesus said that, but I've overcome the world and everything of that you're going to be tested with. And we know this because we've been, we speak out of experience. And you think it's going to be over, but it's not over. Then, we're experiencing other things of life. But we also know that God has been faithful. And I also know God is faithful. today. Come on, somebody. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. The next chapter, we're in the book of Colossians of gratefulness and gratitude and thankfulness. Are you here? The Apostle Paul, like I said, a man in prison telling me that I need to be who I should be. Well, he's in prison for no reason. Hungry, cold, clammy, beaten, forgotten. Come on. Sometimes we forget that we're forgotten, but we're never forgotten. Come on. Come on. Colossians chapter 4. But how does this happen? And that only comes one way. Say one way. Have you ever seen somebody give the one way sign? Not the middle finger, the other way. Yeah, some of you have given the other way, but you know, that's because you're angry. That's because you weren't in a heart full of gratitude or with a heart full of thanksgiving like you say we are. You're thankful because it's going right. You're thankful because everything seems to be right. You're thankful because you got your payday right. Hello? How many are thankful when they cheat you on your paycheck? I've had to deal with that for years. Oh my God. I've never seen crybabies like I've seen men crying for their paychecks. In my world, it was all commission, not hourly. In my world, we took care of our people in the business world. And it's amazing how many of us are forgetful. I had salesmen that would make $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 a month plus bonuses and et cetera. And we are grateful for them, right? Notice I said grateful, as we are thankful. Because they made me look good. I make the store look good that I manage. But then those owners are looking at me. Come on. They buy me suits. Hello. But when it's payday time, I said, oh, man, they're going to be upset now. Here's your pay. Here they come. Here they come. The last thing I want to hear, because I already realized, they forgot. Say, they forgot. You know what they forgot? They forgot they needed a draw prior to payday, and we were good enough and grateful enough that we convinced the office to write us a check in their name out of their pay that they're about to receive. But they forgot about it. And here they are crying because they got a majority of their pay early. Hello. And here I see them crying. And it hurts to see them crying, but they're crying for the wrong thing. They're crying because they're unthankful for the gratefulness that we produced because it's an action. Come on, somebody. I hope you're catching this. But it's not going to happen. This is what we told you on Colossians chapter 3 that we started with chapter 2. Here it is. But the only way it's going to work this out is that verse number 2, continue. Say continue. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to you as a saint of God? Continue. Forget the other part yet. Study one word, continue. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? It means to be steadfast, to persevere. Does it mean to show oneself consistently? It means consistently. Hello. What does it mean to you as a saint of God? Because we're all saints. What does this mean? Does it mean to be devoted? See, you don't like those words because it doesn't say that. It doesn't say devote earnestly. It doesn't say to be steadfast earnestly. We use the word continue. Well, continue what? When I feel like it? When I'm only in a dire need of? How many know what that means? We only see God because things aren't going right or because something has happened. And then if we're not careful, we're actually blaming God for what happened. And we know it's not Him. If you know your God, He's here to protect you. He's here to uplift you. He's here to encourage you. Come on. Paul writes it in the Ephesians, encourage who? One another. How can we encourage you? We don't see you. How can we encourage you when you'd rather be with those of the world than those of God? How can we do that this morning? Come on. God knows. So when the situation is right, you know why things aren't changing in many people's lives of Christianity? Because they're not rooted in the ways they believe they should be rooted. But they're rooted in the way they want to be rooted. And they know. So what does it mean to you to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving? You see, the difficulty of the gratitude heart, if we're not in a continued, a steadfast, earnestly way, what does earnestly mean to you though? In a true heart, come on, in a way, in prayer, what does prayer mean to you? I mean, we know it means talking to God. How many agree? How many talk to God? I talk to him when I'm talking to God, but you know the way I'm talking about now today? I'm talking to God while I'm listening to my radio, right? Christmas music now? No, I want to hear worship. I want to hear praise. There's a time for Christmas, right? I can't hear it all day long. It drives you crazy. Next you know, you're singing nothing but Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Come on, no. Or Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Of course she knew. Because the angel told her. But did you know? Do you know? Know what? That your baby. Come on, Jesus, help me here. Continue in prayer and watch. Continue in prayer and watch. In the same with what? Thanksgiving. Let me share something with you real quick. Prayer and gratitude go hand in hand. Why? Because your thankfulness leads you to the action of gratitude that you know. Say, I know. I need to talk to my God. This is why you should be filled with the Holy Ghost and with the gift of tongues. Because when you're listening to your worship music while you're driving on that beautiful 91 dumb freeway, you're praying in your language. And no devil can understand it but God himself. And he's edifying you. And you're being edified by him. Come on. And you're speaking in a direction where in season you're going to know what you're praying. Because God's going to give you the discernment, which is a gift that you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a discernment that he's going to let you see what you're asking him. But nobody can read that mind except Almighty God. Continue, be steadfast, whatever, in prayer, and watch in the same matter. These go hand in hand that you understand. And this is the greatest challenge you're going to have, is to be grateful. You're thankful. We're all thankful for something. How many thank God they have a job? How many are thankful for the job they hate? How many are thankful for what the job makes you do? Come on. I mean, I'm thankful for the person that works the same job as you, gets paid the same, but don't do nothing like you do it. Because we're people who do 100% to our God. No matter what we do, we're doing it unto our God. I don't care what it is. I'm doing it to you, Father. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it to you, for them. But it's to you, my God. I'm going to give you my 100%. And I know they're not doing it, but they're not my problem. I'm here to show myself up. Why? Because I have a thankfulness that you saved me. How many are thankful that he saved you? How many are thankful that he came into your life? How many are thankful that he's in your family's life, your household's life, your children's life, your relative's life? How many are really thankful? And if you are, then let that rise up and become grateful and be an action. Say an action. And let them know that I went to church. I'm going to church. Let's go pray. Let us pray now. Why wait? Pray for me. Well, let's pray right here. Why? Because tomorrow's not promised. We heard it. Yesterday, we can't change. It's history. Tomorrow is a mystery. We don't know, but let's do it. Why? Because I'm grateful that I can call upon the name of the Lord right here, right now. And I know that he hears me. Why? Because he tells me he hears me. The same God that told you God so loved the world tells you that if you ask in his name, what that means is you have to ask for something that's right and correct. Don't ask him for the lotto. Stop doing that. Thank God. He can't answer that prayer unless it's a steadfast heart. And that heart is going to be used for a reason. Say amen. And that challenge is to walk in this gratefulness. Come on, help me here. Let's go to the book of Psalms. I need to wind down here a little bit. How many are really happy for Thursday coming? How many are going to put their diets away? How many are going to change their way they eat? How many, the average calories are going to be eaten, that says in the reports that the average persons are going to eat 3,000 calories on Thanksgiving Day. And I say, that's all? Because what does a calorie look like? What does it measure with? Come on, I know what a pound is. I know what a half a pound, a quarter pound. But what is 3,000 calories look like? And if you look, if you ask the right person in the psychological world, they're going to show you a hog. No, you didn't like that. Come on, somebody. I'm going to the book of Psalms. We used to have one. We used to have a picture of a pig on our refrigerator. A moment on the lips, forever on the hips. Who's that for? Me or you? Or them? Because I don't get it. Come on. And it had red lipstick on it. And if it was a, why are you laughing? Because I said a pig, not, you know, not a hog. A hog is a male. A pig is a female. How many of you know about farming? I've delivered pigs. Come on. I'm glad you laugh. I'm glad you're here this morning with me. Talking about a heart of gratitude. Going to Psalms 103. Coming, leaving the biggest challenge of becoming grateful. Understanding right now, some of us have to get to the place that what I'm about to read in the book of Psalms 103, King James Version, that we need to get to a place that because we have Jesus, say we have Jesus. How many know we have Jesus? Where's he at? Where's he at? He's in your heart and everywhere around you. He goes before you. He's behind you. He's to the side of you. Come on. That's who we have. I want to see him. Sometimes I want to see the angels too. You know? And then all of a sudden you're talking to a stranger. I said, Lord, I want to see an angel. He goes, silly. I just showed you one. Well, he didn't buy me nothing. Come on, God, help me here. But if you have Jesus, come on. If you have Jesus, now that's an if. I'm not saying that you know about him. I didn't ask that. I said, if you have Jesus, that means you repented, salvation, forgiveness, forgiving. Another tough one. Come on. Can't be done without him. I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't try without him. But with him, because I have Jesus, you know what you also have? Hello? You have healing. You have forgiveness, and I talked about it. And the last and the most, you have hope. What is hope? Show faith that he gave you. And it's the size of the seed of a mustard seed. That mustard seed in you, as it grows, can will not only say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the ocean, it's going to be able to walk up to any day at any place as he leads us. Because God's not an emotional God. Emotions don't move him. Faith moves him. Faith is your hope. So if you have Jesus, Psalms is going to give you again, and we've covered this in Psalms and many other Psalms, verse number 1 through 5. This is a Psalm of David. Come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is, bless his holy name. We're a church that you can lift up your hands and thank the Lord. We sang a song, the song Gratitude. Come on, you people. Come on. Come on. You have something in your lungs, right? Yes. And it tells you, that what can I give a king? But lift up my hands. You know, you can lift up your hands and thank God you're not being arrested. Hello? This is a place of a choice that I'm thankful, but in my thankfulness, this is my gratitude. This is my action. This is what I'm doing, because I'm going to bless you, O Lord. Come on. I'm going to bless you with all that I have. Everything in me, because that's all I have is me. And all I have, he doesn't need my house. He doesn't need my car. He's not worried about my bank accounts. He doesn't need none of that. He gives you that. He does. But what he's looking for is, show me the money. No, show me your gratitude. Pastor allows you to lift up your hands. He lets you lift up your voice. He lets us have instruments. Come on. He lets us be led. He lets the church let you, if you want to bow down or lift up or praise or flags or just run in circles if you want to. It's being distraction. No, it's not. What you're doing is you got God's attention because he's watching. Oh, help me here, Jesus. Bless. Again, Psalm of David in his worst positions of life. Hello? You know what? One of these worst positions right here? He had a man killed because of his sinful nature that he just created by what he did, by having a child with a married woman when he already had 50,000 wives and concubines. Hello? Try to cheat the system of life, brings a man from war to come have him sleep with his wife, that he can say, you did this. But you can't do that if God is watching. Come on. Oh, help me here. And of course, he did what he thought he was right. He thought in his manipulation, because we're not manipulators, right? Hello? No. Come on. You're watching your favorite little program, and all of a sudden, here comes that. And I'm sorry, I'm not a hater of animals. I love animals. And now they're showing me an animal that's in need. They never show me a child that's aborted. They always show me an animal that's in need to give. Are you here? I said, you know what? That's the same animal 5 years ago. I'm watching. That's how I watch. I go, wait a minute. Hello? I could go a little deeper. You want to go a little deeper on that notion? They used to have that adopt a child on television. Why? They would show you Africa. They show you the third world countries out there in need of a child. If you give the need to this child, you will adopt this child in a sense, and your funding will go to assist this child. And you fall for it, and you do it because your heart is yearning and gratitude is trying to move because God's moved on you, and you give. And 3 years later, there she is again. Still looking the same. How is that? Manipulation. We don't do that. Come on, church. But what we do as Psalm is saying here, you can't beat God. I'm gonna tell you that. I'm gonna bless the Lord all myself with all that I have, God. I'm gonna bless his holy. How many know his name is holy? When's the last time you said holy, 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 holy? When's the last time you walked in that manner and said holy, holy? The angels do it all day long. Come on, somebody. Verse 2, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. How many know that we are in a beneficial time zone right now? We have benefits with Almighty God. Hello, somebody. What's that benefit? He's going to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. He's going to add the increase, but it's not for your sake. He's going to give it to you that he can get it through you. That as you give it, he's going to return it twice as much back to you. But you got to learn to trust him, and you got to remember it's a benefit that we can give to our God. Help me here, Jesus. I want to palm my hand on that. You guys are too quiet. Who forgives on verse number 3? Thy iniquities. Who heals all my diseases? When's the last time you thanked him? By showing your gratitude. I don't care what anybody says. Come on. I've been in my front yard raising my hand. I've been in my position at the store I ran. I'm out there and I'm worshiping God. And people came out. Do you need something? You need something? I said, no, I'm just thanking God. But at least they saw me. Because I was never been ashamed. I'll never be ashamed of my God. Because without him, I wouldn't be here today. I bless the Lord. Why? Because he forgave what he forgave us. And we have a lot to be forgiven of. Her and I. Come on, say amen. Where he brought us from, we have a lot that when the enemy tries to put a condemnation of how could you be this when you did all that? Until you, and if you don't know no better, all that, yes, wasn't me. That was that guy that died back there. And the one that died back there and forgave me of all of that, he created me new. Back to the earth, dirt where you belong. Come on, somebody. Because God's not going to reveal it to you. That's a lie of your enemy. Who forgives all thy iniquity. Who healeth all the diseases. We made it through COVID. Not everybody. Two of our people got robbed because of the stinkiness of that COVID lie. I was trying to reach out. Don't let them put you on. Don't let them put you on the ventilator. Don't let them do that. Because that's what's going to take your life. Especially for the senior citizens. But we lost them, but we didn't lose them. They went to the heavens. They're in the heavens. Come on, somebody. And their prayers are still being answered down on earth. Why? Because they blessed the Lord. They gave him his praises. They had a heart of gratitude. Come on. And one of them, she was a potato salad maker. A potato salad makers. But now they raise up another one. God always has a replacement. How many know what I'm talking about? You may be the replacement. We already got the replacement with the potato salad. We got three now. Come on. See, you take one, but God gives us three. There's a fourth one, but three. Thank you for the fourth, God. The fourth one in the meeting. Some of you need some joy right now. Come on, are you here? Come on, are you here? We have healing. We have forgiveness. Come on. Of our diseases. Hello. Four. Who redeemeth my life? I put mine, because it's personal, from destruction. How many of you know that you were on a road to destruction? How many of you have left the Lord and came back? Think about it. He called you. You accepted. So curve came of life, and you decided to go the other way. And then you woke up, and you decided to come back. And when you came back, he was waiting. Right there, where you left him. Right? Because he's a promising God that fulfills promises. Amen. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. You may not walk with me, but I'm walking with you. You're not talking with me, but I'm trying to talk to you. Come on. Hello. Who redeemed my life from destruction, who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercy. Do you know his grace and mercy is established every morning? You're renewed every morning. So if you blew it last night, yesterday, it's a brand new day. That's enough to be like Elf. I like smiling. It's my favorite. Come on. Oh, Jesus. Pastor, you talk too much about television. No, I talk about certain scenes in the television world. Come on. I'm not telling you to go do it. And then he goes, number five, who satisfies my mouth with good things. So that youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on. Amen. He satisfies our mouth. That's a big one. I can get stuck here, but I'm not. How many are thankful that you can eat? Now, I'm going to put you in a place. How many are thankful you can taste it?
Yes.
You don't have no idea what that means unless your taste is taken away. How many are thankful you can smell this morning? Did our church smell good? Did it smell good? You don't know what that means until your smell is taken away. Today we're fighting that out there in our country because of the COVID virus that was sent out, man-made, positioned by people, positioned by those that are trying to change our system, change our world. You don't believe it, but God knows it. He revealed it through the prophets way in time. Today, we understand that one. Today, we eat to live. I don't live to eat. Come on, somebody. And you have no idea if you can't taste it, what it feels like. Are you listening, church? Are you here? Who satisfies my mouth? I'm still thankful he feeds us. I'm so thankful that we have choices. Come on. We have choices. We forgot. Some of you don't realize what boredom is. We do. When there's nothing to eat in that refrigerator. But in my refrigerator, I have something to eat always. Come on, always. No, no, you're not hearing us. Some of you don't know what it is not to have. And you're hungry. And you're so ashamed that somebody's offering you to eat, but you can't accept it because you're so ashamed. Are you here? With good things. So my youth is renewed like an eagle. How many understand about the eagles? Study the eagles. It is the greatest, one of the greatest creatures. They're one of the most magnificent eagle fowls of the earth. Wonderful. The reason I don't like turkey is because I'm an eagle. You didn't catch that. There's a little humor there. But I do know the scriptures are true. And I do know that Psalms 28 is going to tell me something here as I begin to close you out with two more scriptures that you can go about your day, go get your shopping done, whatever you need to do. How many are ready for Christmas? Come on. What? You had all year to get ready. I warned you on January 2nd. I said, Christmas is coming. You looked at me like I'm foolish. I'm not foolish. I see time progressing. How many are off this week? Thank the Lord for the schools, right? Thank the Lord for all of you. Thank God for what you get to do. Come on, say amen. But in your thankfulness, show your gratitude and say, God, use me while I'm off this week. And see what he'll do for you. Come on, say amen. Hello, if you want to know if you can do something for our church, how many are grateful for our church? Show your gratitude then. Show yourself. Hello, somebody. If you want to do something, get a hold of Minister John. He had to leave right now. We pray for his journey and journey back. Come on, say amen. And I know it's going to be well, but if you want to be used for this church, you get a hold of him. Say, use me, and he's going to use you. He's a good teacher when he does everything in our house here. Hello, somebody. Chapter 28, Psalms 28, come on. When you walk in the heart of thanksgiving, as we are in this month, and you're being transitioned, and you're being transitioned with a heart of gratitude. Come on. This is what we'll do. Verse number 7. Some of you have to understand why you can't do as you should do. The Lord, on verse number 7, King James Version says, is my. All you have to do every morning in your thankfulness that he woke you up. Even though you had a bad night, even though you may have had some bad dreams or good dreams, it doesn't matter. Even though you fought whatever causes you, the moment you wake up in that new morning, learn to say, thank you, for this is the day you have made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, even though I don't have nothing to be happy about, God. Even though my life is in turmoil, even though I'm facing what I'm facing, whether a loss of my position, a loss of my home, the loss of my vehicle, the loss of whatever it is in our hearts, a trying time, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to rejoice because it's a day that you have made. And with that, the joy of the Lord will be my strength to see me through all of that I need to be seen through, because that's why he's here. He's here to see you through every point of life. Yeah. Come on, church. He's a good God. He's the God that promised you his son. He wrote this. He wrote this for us too. The Lord is my strength. Some of us don't realize somebody that's a heart of gratitude is praying for you. You don't know them, but he has them praying for you because he knows you need strength. Amen. Hello? Thank you, Father. And he's sending those prayers up to him. And then he's sending it right back to those. And it's going right into you. That you're able, whether you can't get out of bed, whether you have to crawl through the whole day. And we've had those. I didn't want to see another day. I can't do that. I can't make it, God. I just can't. But we're still here. Because he'll reveal to you. It's him. The Lord is my strength and he is my protector, my shield. My heart trusts in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With my song will I praise him. How many understand what David is rejoicing right here for? What part of his journey, whether the king was out to have him executed? Well, he's hungry with his men that they have to go eat the shoe bread that's illegal to touch. Come on. Or whether they're going through and they see a cornfield and they're eating the husks of the corn stalk. And corn wasn't eaten by them, by the way. If you don't know, corn was meant for the swine to eat, not human being consumption. But I'm not here to tell you. I don't care. Eat all your corn because we're going to have corn on Thanksgiving, right? You want to hear something sickening? It doesn't even digest most of the time in your stomach. Sick. But God knows what he's doing. Come on. He's writing in his heart in the time that he's in, like we just shared on the other, because his heart is rejoicing. Why? Because he saw what God brought him the day before. And if God has brought you the day before and the days before that, the weeks before that, the month before that, the years before that, and you're here today, you have a lot to say, thank you, Lord. And you have a heart of gratitude to rise up by saying, I lift up my hands. Come on. Here's my body. It's yours. Because holy is his name. Come on, somebody. And in closing, I'm going to close you out with a scripture. Many have spoken. Maybe some of you have spoken this, but that you recognize the one that wrote John 3:16. Everybody loves that one. He also wrote in the word of Jeremiah, to the words of Jeremiah the prophet, 29. Some of you already know that scripture by heart, which is good. And I want to close you with this. Verse number 11. And he goes, for I know, right? Say, he knows. You think God doesn't know? He knows. But you need to know that the one that so loved this. Let's straighten that out. He didn't love the earth itself. He loved what he created in the earth called human beings. Come on, are you here? And he says that the Lord, I'm on Jeremiah 29, in verse number 11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. How many know what he's really thinking about you? I just shared many scriptures throughout this month of what he is with you, for you. No matter what time of life that we're going to be challenged with, because we're challenged by life. How many agree? We have many that are not going to sit, won't be sitting at a table because they're really not thankful for where they are in life. Hello. But I want you to put this deep down in your heart. This is your God. Say, my God, I know the thoughts. He knows the thoughts that he thinks toward me. The prophet is saying, I know the thoughts. Say, my God, our God. Say, our God is thinking about us this morning. He knows you're worried. He knows you're concerned. Come on. Because if you don't have somebody that's saved, like we have a lot, we have two in the hospital right now we're believing for. Come on, not only is Jeanette there, I have a nephew. They're transporting him to another hospital because I see God working it out. But I can't tell my family who are not rooted yet that God's working it out. Come on. He didn't die like you told me as you called us last week that he was dying and he's shutting down. He's not shutting down. God has shut him up. No, you didn't hear this. But I'm encouraging them as best as I can. And I'm watching the new MRI because everything's normal, but he can't wake up. Come on. Well, sometimes God's got to keep us asleep because he's got to finish what he's doing. Oh, you didn't catch that. But I rejoice. Why? Because my God, say our God. My God is your God. Your God is my God. So it's our God. My God. I know this scripture. I stand on a lot of these scriptures, but I stand on this. I know the thoughts that he thinks toward who? Us. And that's including my nephew. That's including Jeanette right now. That's including everybody that you have in your heart and your mind right now for. Everyone. Come on, he knows where we have family and loved ones and friends. Every seed we ever planted and sowed, right, and watered, we're waiting for increase. He knows what that is about us. Come on, he understands that. So he wants you to know what he's thinking about you, because he knows what you're thinking about in this world and of him. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Who's speaking? The writer of John 3:16. The Lord himself said that. He's saying this. So put it here. Don't go tattoo it. That doesn't mean, don't stop doing that. Don't go tattoo it. I see it on the scripture. I go, do you know what that means? Come on. The thoughts of peace and not of evil. As children, religious grandmas and grandpas and peoples told us, he's going to punish me. So why should I serve a punishing God? Because I just can't, I can't do this. I can't do what you all people are doing. Come on. But I thank God that he woke us up. Yeah. And he told us the truth. So that lets me bless the Lord like we just heard. Come on. It lets me have that what I need to be rooted with, grounded. Come on. And let me know that what peace is really all about. It surpasses all understandings, not man, but everyone else. And that I have one that gives me the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give me an expected end. How many know what your expected end is? What is he going to give you? Give you a future of what? Read it right. To give you a future. I mean, I'm looking at your future today. I'm looking to see, has God blessed you today? That's what we open up to. What did he do for you? Did he do anything good this week for anybody? Anybody? Amen. Come on. Yes. Yeah. How many understood that young man's testimony? Thank the Lord. That David was making fun of his own nephew. What is he being thankful for? You didn't understand. He's not a varsity. He's not a senior. But he's wrestling with the seniors, being a sophomore, right? Being a sophomore. So he's advanced 2 grades up. Come on. Come on. Why? Because he thinks of me, of peace, not evil, to give me a future. I mean, you know what your future is.